You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, hey, everybody. Wednesday night, time for American Whiner. My name is Alex. We're on podcastdetroit.com. How's everybody doing? So good to be here. The studio has two-hearted on tap for the first time that I've been aware of since I've been doing this. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Lock talk's on, isn't it? Okay, it is good. Very good. I'm going to take a sip of the two-hearted here. I'm going to hit pause on my iPhone, bring up the music for the break, and I'm going to turn on my guest microphone. There we go. My guest tonight is my very good friend, Jeff Mengen. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's so funny that you are on today because last week I had on Aaron Accomando, who I met at Eastern Idol exactly 10 years ago. It was fall 07. That is the exact same place that I met you. You were running the sound at Eastern Idol.
It's probably like the same day. And wow. I am reminded of how much I hate my own voice.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You have been a sound guy pretty much since. And it wasn't just that that event that I kept running into you. Like met you there and I was like, this is a nice guy, you know. And then I saw you were just randomly at one of my band's practices. There were several moments where it was like, well, I guess the universe wants us to know each other really bad. So
yeah, it was like six or seven times. I only can remember and specifically like four or five, but it was definitely way more than that.
It was.
Like every time we're like, oh, hey.
Yeah. It got to the point where it was like a joke. It was like, I'm not even really surprised to see you. I wasn't expecting to, but it's like, oh, of course Jeff's here, you know?
I think that was the Toy Monsters. I think it was Toy Monsters, right?
Yeah, that was my first band, yep.
Yeah, I think when I showed up to that, I think was the first time I wasn't all that surprised.
Yeah.
It's like, of course it's you.
Yeah. So, yeah, but you've so we've been friends for a decade now, and a lot has happened. You have been a sound guy pretty much. Like, that is your forte, right? Like, that's – like, when I met you, like I said, you were doing sound, and you have sort of you went to school for it. Did you do electronic media and film at Eastern, or was that?
Electronic media and film. I think you did too, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we ended up doing the same thing there.
And then you went to Eastern ended, and then you went to Vancouver or something, right?
Oh,
to
yeah. Do, so right after I left Eastern, I went to U of M, basically doing the same. What I was doing at the student center was like just basic AV stuff.
And, right. And this was your job, right?
Yeah, that was my job. and I went to U of M basically doing the same thing for like 2 years. And I've always been into sound. Like I think I got my first recorder in like freshman year of high school. So excited for it. But yeah, I did basically the same job in another building for 2 years with a bunch of old people. It's the youngest one in the building by like 20 years.
This is at U of M?
Yeah. My supervisor at the time was his first day at the university was the day before I was born.
Oh, my God. Really?
I'm like, that's awesome.
And was he like the next youngest person besides you? Or?
No, but he wasn't the oldest. He was pretty average, I think, for the area. The next youngest person was in IT, and then I think he was like 15 years older. And then the next one above him was like 10.
Well, that must have been nice to get in there then. You were kind of like, well, you know, I'm going to be, you know, there's a lot of job security here because I'm going to be the only one who's still around.
Yeah, you know? I could have been there forever, but it drove me insane.
What were you doing? It was the same thing you said as Eastern. So you were running sound for events and stuff, right?
Even then, it was actually less involved. Like at Eastern, I actually got to run stuff. There it was like, if I set up for an event, I couldn't stay in the room. Mm-hmm. I had to leave, and I couldn't actually adjust anything without like going up and reaching in front of the person presenting. Oh. All the controls were on the podium, and I'm like, why would you do that?
That's a really stupid way of doing that.
Yeah, but the idea was it's supposed to be self-serve, and it's like, okay. But yeah, I went crazy doing that for 2 years and found out sound for film was a thing.
Uh-huh.
And, well, I knew it was a thing, but I didn't think it was something I could do, that in video games. So yeah. So back to what you originally started with, that's why I went to Vancouver.
and you were in Vancouver for how long?
I was there for a year. It was Vancouver Film School's sound design program. It was in a class size of 8.
Oh, wow.
Went down to 7 for a little bit and then back to 8.
And so what did you do? Like, what did they have you do?
It's basically They so much stuff. It was at least like a 4-year program crammed into 1 year. It was crazy. The first term is only there's 6 terms, 2 months each. Each one was like, well, the first one was like intro to Pro Tools to get like anybody on the same page. So if you have no experience whatsoever, you can start there and you won't be completely left behind. But it moved really fast. And I think it was term two. We started, they'd give us a clip in the morning. We'd have like 4 hours to edit. I guess that time, I think it was mostly overnight. And then the next morning, we'd go through everyone's projects, critique it. We'd get another clip, do it again, get another clip the next day, do it again, just over and over. Eventually got into working with the film campus. They do a pretty cool thing there. So they have an acting class or an acting group, a film school, a writing school, visual effects, and they tie them all together in like term three or I think it's 4 or 5. So you have to work with the other departments. The idea is when you leave the school, you can actually leave and go immediately to work with everyone else that you worked on projects with.
So networking then.
Yeah. So it's basically get pushed out as one big group. And actually, his name is escaping me right now. Did it Elysium, District 9?
Oh, Neil Blomkamp. Blomkamp. I never pronounced his name right, but yeah.
Yeah, whatever his name
is. Yeah.
He actually went to that school along with one of his writers that was also on District 9 and Elysium.
Oh, really?
I think they were both did Chappie, too.
Yeah, they did.
I have not
actually seen
Chappie yet.
I have not seen Chappie. I heard it was not good. I heard District 9 got really good reviews. Elysium was like – it was good, but it wasn't as good as District 9. And then Chappie was like, okay, dude, you got to fucking up your game. You're losing it, man.
Yeah.
It was a good idea. I thought it was a really good idea. The cast was really interesting. But I didn't even bother seeing it because the reviews were like, don't even bother.
Yeah, same here. It was like I was really excited when I first saw the trailer.
Yeah. Again, it looked like a really good idea.
Excuse me.
How long ago was Vancouver? That was a while ago now, wasn't it? It was like 5-6 years at least, I want to say.
I graduated 3 years ago.
Oh, 3 years ago.
So I left 4 years ago.
Okay. And you came back to Michigan. Why don't you talk about that? Because you know, what happened after Vancouver?
I actually literally got married a month after I graduated.
I remember that.
Wife here in Michigan. And I've been kind of freelancing, doing audio work as much as I can, but I haven't – most of my work has actually been out of state that I've gotten through like random contacts and Facebook. I've had a hard time finding the community in Michigan, but I'm hoping that'll change soon. I've got a couple of things going.
I'm taking a class right now at Washtenaw Community College. Have you tried anybody through there? Because it seems like there's a lot of networking going on. Just the people that I've met in the past month, you know.
I've contacted a couple of the like department heads and teachers there, but I have not gotten a single response from any of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I did contact Eastern too, actually, just in the last couple of weeks. I contacted them, some of our old professors.
Oh, really?
Like, right when I got back from Vancouver, I'm like, hey, I can do this now. Is there anything I can do to help the school? Never heard back.
Oh, geez.
So I did that again like 2 weeks ago. Still haven't heard from them, but I did hear from the Simulation, Animation, and Gaming program. I might be giving a talk.
Oh, really?
On game audio. And then is it the Eagle Filmmakers Association? It's a student group at Eastern, just part of the electronic media program that – yeah, they just want to make films every week, and I'm
cool,
giving
man.
A talk actually next Wednesday.
That's all, what you said game audio, right? That's what
for them. It's actually that one is film audio.
Oh, okay. I was going to say and one of the things I want to talk to you about, without getting too off topic here, with the trajectory of your career and all that, but the last time I saw you when I asked you to be on the podcast, I think it was like late August or something like that. It was towards the end of the summer, and you. Since you came back from Vancouver, like we've hung out, you know, I've tried to see you at least like once or twice a year. And every time I've seen you, like you can just, it's not surprising that you're giving talks on this kind of stuff because like you can lecture on the merits of film sound and like you're noticing these things that like I never would even think to notice about the soundtrack of the film. And It's really interesting to hear because it's something that's totally essential, but not a lot of people really latch onto it, right?
Yeah, for the most part, if the sound designer and the Foley walker, editor, artist, all that stuff, if everybody basically does their job right, you kind of don't really notice it. And yeah. Nothing really sticks out unless it's supposed to be like an explosion or some alien ship or something, because that is supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, yeah, like a lot of the fact that dialogue, like 90% of dialogue in movies is recorded in a studio and not on the set.
Mm-hmm.
Like they still record it on the set, but they re-record it later to make it better. Just stuff like that. And something you never really think about, but that's how it works.
Well, how did you originally get into sound? You said you bought your first recorder when you were a freshman, but like what sparked that?
So my original goal at the time was I wanted to record my drums and maybe sophomore year, because I don't remember when I joined a band. I was in a band for a few years. We never played a show. We just had like a party. Just like everyone there. We had like four or five bands. We were terrible.
What were you guys called?
I think it was called Outcry.
Outcry.
So bad. So bad.
I do remember though, because one of the
website's still up.
It is, huh? Wow. Yeah. I do remember me and you jammed a couple times back in the day.
Yeah,
I went over because you were living in Brighton at the time, and I'm from South Lyon.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
I completely forgot about that.
So that was another thing, but yeah. So you were that's how it was then. It was through music, and you kind of rather so than. You know, latching onto the music part of it, you were kind of like, I'm more interested in the actual capturing of the sound of the music.
Yeah, it's kind of a smooth path. That, and I'm a terrible drummer, so I didn't really get very far with that.
Uh-huh.
That, and I haven't been able to play them in like 10 years because I've been living in apartments, and it's like you can't really. There's no volume control on an acoustic drum kit,
right?
Other than like
right.
rushes, and even then, it's still going to piss off your neighbors.
Yep. You could have electronic drums, but you know.
Yeah,
those are expensive, right?
Yeah, so, and they're expensive, and I don't have any money.
Yeah.
And really, I'd rather buy a couple of microphones.
Yeah.
Or a car.
Right. You're at you said you do freelance sound work now, but you're also still at U of M, right? But it's not doing the same thing anymore, is it? When you were started.
Oh, it is so close. I work in a bigger group of people that do the same thing. First time I was at U of M, I was the only person in the building that did any kind of AV.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, it was only like a quarter of my job. The rest of it was just facility stuff, scheduling, event planning. I did not like that part of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So now I sit in projection booths during classes and just assist with the professor. I'm kind of mostly an insurance policy. We also cover we do a lot of video recording. Our department does literally anything tech-wise that a professor would want.
Mm-hmm.
literally everything. We do a little bit of tech support, a little bit of just, I don't know. I went out and got coffee for somebody today. It's like, hey, I'm going out to lunch. You want anything? Yeah, he just handed me some money. I'm like, okay.
All right. So between that and your freelancing, it's your bread and butter. So what's your goal though? Like long term, like for a career, what do you want to be doing?
Long term, I really just want to be involved with sound, whether it be film sound or game audio. I'm super into game audio,
mm-hmm.
but I love doing both. Whether it's being on set for film stuff, production sound, or if it's just. I don't know, any part of post-production.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the way sound works.
And the only way to get into that is to network, right?
That's yeah,
the
only... unfortunately.
Do you still talk to anybody from Vancouver?
Yes. Not too many people. Probably, there's several that I talk to about as much as we talk.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple times a year, got little conversation pops up. Probably my best friend that I met there, she's... working as a dialogue editor in Mexico right now. I talk to her pretty much every day.
Mm-hmm. So maybe something will come from them eventually, you're thinking?
Hopefully. Although I think she's hoping it'll go the other way around.
Oh, right.
I think she's tired of dialogue editing.
Well, so like I said earlier, you have this sort of ability to notice things about the sound. And like you said, it's when they do their job, you don't notice it really. If they do their job right, it's nobody notices that anything's wrong because that's what it's supposed to be. But like the I got what I want to talk about is Mad Max Fury Road, which came out in 2015. I saw that movie 5 times in the theater. That's more than any other movie in my life.
I just heard my wife cringe from wherever she is.
Well, I can guess why, because when I saw you that year, it was in November, and you that was kind of when I really grasped how like passionate you were about the whole sound and film thing, because you kept talking about, you're like, that movie, the sound is just so fucking well done.
And yeah, it is. Once I get started with something like that, I just don't stop.
Well, we have plenty of time. So and it's funny that you mentioned your wife cringed at it. So do you constantly bring that up, or is it?
Yeah, I did that for a long time. And now she's getting on me about talking about Baby Driver a lot, because there's a lot of really cool stuff in there.
I was going to ask you if you'd seen any movies this year that had really good sound.
Yeah,
and Baby Driver.
Baby Driver is one of them, just because it's like there are so many very intricately cut sound effects that no one really notices because it's all perceived as part of the music. So all of the focus is on the soundtrack because that's what the movie was. It's we are using these songs, and it is exactly this long. This scene has to fit within the time frame of this song, which usually it's the other way around. They make the scene, and they're like, I like this song. And the music editor's job is to make it sound like that song was exactly the right length,
mm-hmm.
which is really hard sometimes, but it's also a lot of fun. yeah, there's so much focus on that that, like, when you're watching it, there's specifically in the opening car chase, there's this point where the tire screeches, like start to do an mm-hmm. kind of thing, and it turns into a snare drum fill for the song that's playing, and it's like, it's just perfect.
That new movie was basically a musical where the main characters never sang.
It was a musical with cars.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked that. What about anything else this year really stuck out to you? Have you seen Blade Runner yet?
No.
Because I mean, like I said, I don't know anything about sound really specifically, but I saw that in IMAX last week, and it dragged a little bit. It was a little slow. But the opening scene, it was just like Mad Max, where you get that low ominous noise, and then you got the narration, title cards over just black screen, and then mm-hmm. boom, and you go. The first opening shot is just like that shot of Max in the desert. I won't say what it is, so I don't spoil it for you. But it's really fucking cool. It's just this big, expansive dystopian sci-fi shot. And so when you see that, I want to know what you think of it, because I think that the sound in that is probably, you know, that it stuck out to me. So
yeah, I've been trying to see that since it came out, but I've been so busy with other stuff.
Yeah, what have you been up to, man? Like, what's your...
Well, other than my job at U of M, which we're actually short a couple staff. We literally just hired, I think, 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had, I think, within the first, 2 weeks of this term, out of, 15 or 20 people, we had an average of, 10 hours of overtime per person.
Oh, wow. Is that a lot?
Excuse me.
For you guys?
Yeah. My second job is I work live sound at a church up in Brighton.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's Wednesday nights. They have a rehearsal that's a couple hours long, and then Sunday mornings, obviously, they do 3 services, so I'm there for 7 hours, mm-hmm. I think, usually.
And it's funny because when you walked in the door here, I was like, well, how you been, man? And you're like, just trying to survive.
He's yeah.
And so 3 jobs. Yeah, man. I got 2 jobs myself, so I know how it is. But I want to talk more about movies. Besides Mad Max, what are some other movies just throughout movie history that really the sound really sticks out for you?
There's pretty much everything decent budget recently
mm-hmm.
has some really good stuff with sound. There's a lot of indie stuff that's really good, has great sound too. what is the one I watched a couple weeks ago? Room.
Oh, yeah.
Room
yeah.
was really good. That was the one about the kid raised in captivity.
Right, yeah. Brie Larson won an Oscar for
it. That was just that whole movie. Loved it.
What makes so good sound? Like you said, is it just not knowing that it...
No, not really. Because sometimes you want people to know it's there. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of... So, how do I put that into a small sentence? and not talk for 3 hours. It's music, well, music and sound. They help tell a story that is, they just help everything else tell a story. Mm-hmm. I'll go with that. Generally, it's a lot of connecting with emotion. For instance, music is the easiest one to explain to people. Like, you play happy music or sad music to go with something. Well, there's sound effects actually have a big role in that that often goes ignored because it's like, well, yeah, that door squeaked. It's because it's a door.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, what kind of squeak is it? A squeak can be happy or sad. It can induce fear or like anger or whatever. And there's like same thing with Foley stuff. Like when you're doing footsteps, you can tell if somebody's angry by the sound of their feet. It all goes together to tell the same giant story.
So what about Room, though, like stuck out for you as far as the sound?
Room was really neat because it had a lot of like very intricate detail in the room. And there's a lot of kind of like how the shots in the film showed that like the opening of the film where is it Jack? Jack is the name of the character.
Oh, the kid?
Yeah, where he's going around saying hi to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hi, bed, hi, shelf, hi, whatever. As he walks around, there's like slight changes in the ambience around where you are in the room, but it still kind of reminds you that you're in this blocked off empty space. Mm-hmm. But it's showing you that it's his entire world so far is in that room, and it does it within like 2 minutes. You get like the entire backstory, and it's just beautifully done. And then when he escapes, there's a lot of like they push a lot of specific sounds, like it's the first time you're hearing it, it's something new, it's something a little weird, like you've been without like birds for the entire beginning of the movie, and then they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. When you get out,
and cars and stuff,
and cars, right? Yeah, and actually I really don't know about the birds. I'm assuming that's something that I could think of that would be probably a thing.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And like I said, I saw that movie. I liked it. It didn't blow me away or anything. But now that you're describing, like, that was totally integral to the story. That's his experience of sound, is because it's from the kid's perspective.
Although I do think that my favorite shot in that movie has nothing to do with the sound.
What is your favorite shot?
There's a when he's going through the house later, the first time he encounters the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gets to the top of the stairs and just, like, stares at them. And you're like, oh, yeah, he's lived in a tiny room his entire life. This is the first time he's ever seen stairs. And there's only, like, three of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like a – it's an awkwardly long time to watch him stare at the stairs. And then that same exact angle is used, like, 10 minutes later. And he just runs down it. And it's very, very similar.
Uh-huh.
It's just super cool.
anything else that really stuck out to you in the past couple of years, or I mean, just in general?
So much.
What's your favorite one, I guess, then?
Like, recently, I'd have to go with either Mad Max or Baby Driver.
Really? Those two are the number? What is it about Mad Max that you like so much? Because we didn't really get too much into Mad Max.
Cars are really, really hard to edit. They're just really hard, and they are done so perfectly well. There's a lot of really good mixing in it, too. Like, there's a good ebb and flow between the music, the sound effects, the tiny bits of dialogue. And they express a lot of character out of each of the vehicles, too. So it's kind of their dialogue.
Well, I remember at the very beginning of that movie where it's the titles, again, just the black, and you get the the sort of rusted out looking Warner Brothers logo at the beginning, and you hear the revving of the engines.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds like an animal snarling. Like, oh, and I think that was on purpose.
Yeah. And there probably is some animal in that.
Uh huh.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, every car commercial has some kind of animal behind the engine sounds.
Really? I never knew that. What do they use typically? Do you know?
Tigers, not generally lions. Fun fact, the MGM lion is not a lion.
Oh.
It is a tiger.
I never knew that.
I believe it's a tiger anyways. I know it's not a lion.
Huh.
Yeah, if you ever look up a recording of a lion, it does not sound like that.
Yeah, the lions are actually kind of like, their roars sound kind of pussified, right?
They're
really intimidating roars.
That is a very good way to put that. Yeah, so it's a lion. And it was just like, at the time, somebody was like, well, crap, we need a sound for this. So they grabbed whatever big cat they could find.
And yeah.
They're like, hey, this works.
And quick, what does a tiger sound like? All right, that'll work. Throw it in.
Yeah, it's close enough. Yeah. But it's not about what it actually sounds like. It's about how it portrays the feeling.
Right, so right.
It's kind of the, yeah.
Well, there we go. There was some trivia. I do know also that bald eagles in movies, they use a falcon or a hawk or something,
it's a
right?
It's a red-tailed hawk, and it's always the same one.
Yeah.
It is just as bad as the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, I was just about to say. Because eagles make like – they sound like a regular bird. They tweet basically.
Yeah.
So you're looking at this really intimidating animal or bird of prey and it just goes, you know, tweet, tweet. And yeah. You're like, yeah, that's not going to work. That's not going to – people are going to think that's fake. You know, yeah, they're going to think that we're fucking with them.
Yeah, and then you stick it the red-tailed hawk in there. It's just like the ka-ka.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I know exactly like what you're talking about.
It's that Western like picture, just a desert with like a – I don't know, just like
a bunch of cactuses and cactuses. Cow
yeah.
skulls. For
a
some
single
reason.
Bird going through the sky, and you'll hear it. I mean, heck, they used it in Assassin's Creed.
You know what else I found out actually is that dinosaurs, including like the T-Rex, apparently were very quiet when they hunted, and they didn't roar. They had kind of like they. I don't want to say they tweeted because I didn't hear that exactly, but they were very quiet. And to me, like, that is way more terrifying that this giant thing the size of a house is coming toward and it doesn't roar. It opens its mouth and this little quiet noise comes out. Like, that is fucking terrifying. And you think about Jurassic Park, where I think they used a walrus or something like that.
Oh, geez. There's a lot of stuff in there. I actually don't know what that was.
It was a mix of something. I know that.
Yeah, it was like three or four things.
They use tortoises mating for the raptors. Yeah. I know that.
Yeah.
That's a famous one.
That was one that's in there.
But I want to say the T-Rex was like the cross between like a walrus and a baby whale and something else.
I do think there was a whale in there, but don't quote me on that. I really don't remember. I can usually rattle that off pretty quickly. That one specifically.
Well, we're coming up on break here, so we're gonna we'll take our music break, and when we come back, we're gonna find out what Jeff wants to whine about. So we will be back in 10.
Oh, he might actually be dead.
Hi, everybody. Wednesday night, American Whiner on podcastdetroit.com. How's everybody doing? We are back. That was a hilarious fucking song. I'm really sad that people who are listening to this on the stream don't get to hear it. That was a Cool Patrol by Ninja Sex Party.
Yeah.
And at the end, the dude gets punched in the face and he might be dead. So that's pretty funny.
Look it up on YouTube. There is an official video that goes with it that is amazing. They did an awesome job with it.
Well, we were just talking because you weren't really sure what you wanted to whine about. You were just talking to me. You were like, man, I'm really nervous about the next couple of weeks. And I was like, well, why? And so why don't you tell everybody?
I guess we could start there. So, there's just been a lot going on in the past couple of weeks. So I already mentioned I work the 2.5 jobs. So that takes up like, I think if I work it out, it's like 70 or 80 hours a week. And then I've got like Tuesday nights or game night. I do like an RPG with some old friends online. It's really funny. We're basically playing Dungeons and Dragons on a virtual table.
Oh, nice.
It
nice.
Sounds like the most nerdy thing ever. It's awesome. It is so awesome.
You got to make time for that.
Yeah. We made our own version, too. We took the Mad Max universe and mixed it with the Dungeons and Dragons one.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I'm really happy with it. I'm loving it so far. Anyways, sorry.
No, you're good. I was going to say, I never got into Dungeons and Dragons. I feel like there's this awesome club that – because I feel like I would have fit in perfectly with the people who play that.
Probably would.
But I just never – I don't even really understand how to play it. So, mixing the Mad Max universe in sounds like a really cool idea. So
the first time I played any of those, any kind of like tabletop or pen and paper RPG was – I think it was a year ago with the same group. They always play on weekends. Like, it's, I think every Saturday they're always playing something. They've got a Star Wars RPG going on with a couple of them. anyways, I had never done it before. It was so weird. But once you get past that, it's like, oh, this is actually like really fucking cool.
Well, you're basically like inventing a story as you go, right? Like,
yeah,
that's kind
like,
of the.
The Dungeon Master is the one that, like, they come up with all of the characters and, well, not the player characters, but. Like the world building, they do all of that.
So they're like
put
the
you
narrator.
In situations. Yeah, they're basically a narrator. They put you in the situations. They come up with storylines, which you can or you don't have to follow them, which sometimes is fun because it puts keeps them on their toes because they have to make shit up. Like, I think there was one a couple weeks ago where it was he had this whole like giant like battle encounter thing planned out, and somebody in the group was like, "Well, before we go before we do that, let's go shopping for supplies." So we spent the next like hour just talking to random people in the town. And he's just making all of this up as he goes,
trying to find ammo and things like that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So funny.
Well, I got to check that out. But anyway, hey, sorry. So you were saying that.
So yeah, I'm busy like all week. That's my scheduled game.
You don't have a day off, essentially.
Yeah, I actually thought I had like I think I had a month where I didn't have a day off, except for last Saturday was a surprise day off. Mm-hmm. I thought I was working something and I wasn't. That was awesome. Anyways, my next day off is actually I think it's next weekend. It's the 4th, right?
Yeah, that would be the 4th. Yep.
It's next weekend. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so between all of that and trying to get connected with local people, build out my network, trying to find freelance jobs, all that fun stuff, and giving the two talks that I mentioned, because I was totally not expecting to get like, hey, you should come give a workshop for an hour for the entire game department.
That's like, great, man. If you could kick that into a regular thing, that's awesome for networking.
Yeah, I was just totally not expecting that. So I got that thing back and I'm like, I am really nervous now.
Well, so you got those two things coming up.
Yeah. I'm not worried about the student film one next week. That one's going to be easy. As you can tell, I can just blab about that shit for hours. And as you've heard. So I have all of that coming up. My wife's car is making some noises and needs some front-end work done. It's needed it for weeks, but we haven't found a time to go in. She's a full-time student, so she's doing a whole bunch of studio classes. She's doing art education.
Mm-hmm.
So she's pretty much always at the school working on art, ceramics, or I think watercolor is this term. Yeah. All sorts of fun stuff like that. And I am always working. So we need two cars. And, well, my car, I was on the way home from a concert Sunday night. I'm like, cool, I'm going to get home by like midnight. I'm going to have enough time to get a little bit of sleep and then go into work. I'm 2 miles from home and my alternator died.
Mm-hmm.
My car just shut off in the middle of a turn.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, tow truck came out at 1:30 to sit there for like an hour waiting for him. And then another like 40 minutes for him to do the paperwork. Yeah, so we're down to one car. So she's getting picked up by one of our friends today.
Oh, Jesus, man. Yeah. So you kind of made a joke about like something about, oh, yeah, you said earlier, you're like, I'd rather buy a microphone or a car.
Yeah.
And you weren't kidding.
Nope. Like, that was serious.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess I mean, that fucking sucks, man. We'll segue in just because I want to say the hook of the show, which is what do you want to whine about? You know, I mean, I guess we can whine about cars dying. We'll start off with that and the fucking castle. Yeah. we can start off with that. But yeah, my car, I mean, I've had issues with it, but like it's only 3 years old. It's the first car that I've ever bought in my life that was new when I bought it. I'm still paying it off. Fortunately it's only had to go in like twice so far. Now that I've said that, it'll probably fucking die on me on the way home. But yeah, that is such a, both of the, well, actually I had a Civic before this one. I drive a Cruise now, but, I had a 2002 Honda Civic before this, and that thing was actually pretty fucking reliable. It had problems, but this, what was so nice about it was that I was working for hospice at the time, and there was a mechanic right next to where we worked. So I would just drop off my car in the morning and go work, and then they would fix it, and then it would be ready for me when I got back. So that was like really a blessing to have while that was going on. But that car overall, like I never once had to have it towed. If it had problems, it was because like somebody ran into it or, you know, something happened to it. It wasn't
those old Civics were
reliable.
Very reliable.
Yeah.
They're still pretty high in that, I think.
Yeah. I would have gotten another Honda if I didn't work in the auto industry and and I have to park my car at factories, or if you have a foreign car, they'll fuck with your car. So I went for the next best thing. But yeah, before that I had a fucking Taurus, a 95 Taurus, and this is why I got a Honda, after this, because the Taurus, did I ever tell you this? It blew up on me. That's how it died. Literally, it started on fire I was in the middle of a blizzard and almost exactly 10 years ago. It was December 2007.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. I was on my way home from Eastern, and I was, like I said, it was snowing out, and I was right at Dixboro Road and Plymouth Ann Arbor Road, and it just – and it was it stopped running. I thought it was the snow. I thought it was the tires spinning in the snow, and I pulled over into that little neighborhood that's right off to the right after you go through the light, and I noticed there's smoke coming from my engine. So, I go over and I open the hood and just whoosh, these flames. And I panic. I'm like, fuck, because I'm expecting it to be like a movie and the car is going to blow up any second, you know? So I think I want to say what happened is it blew an oil line or something like that. I don't know anything about cars in regards to that. But I do know that the fire department came out, didn't do anything. They looked at it and they go, yeah, you're all right, man. It'll burn out. And then they're like, You can sit in the car and wait for the cops to get here if you want. And they're sitting in their nice cozy truck. I can see they've got room for me. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to sit in the car. So I stand by the car and then they take off. And then a cop comes and finally gets a tow and everything else. And then the night was over and I was without a car for about 6 months at that point, which was fine because I was in college and it didn't matter. But yeah, that is there's nothing worse than in the middle of the night when your car decides – to fucking just crap out on you. So yeah, what kind of car was it?
It's an Oldsmobile Alero. It's a 2001. It has 224,000 miles on it.
Oh, well, yeah.
So like, last time I took it into the mechanic, my sway bar broke, and they were just like, you know what? We're going to weld this back together because it's not worth getting a new one.
Right, right.
Or finding one.
Well, are you gonna just buy a new car then, or like, what's your?
I'm hoping to, but I'm having trouble finding the cash flow.
Right, of course. Yep.
The usual thing. You could always whine about money.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one thing that we all have in common. You know.
Yeah, even if you're rich, you still bitch about it.
I know. Yeah, you bitch that other people want things from you.
Yeah.
There were two topics that we had kind of touched on about whining, because like I said when you got in here, like, dude, I don't really like I hate whining, like and you're not the first person to say that. We've had a couple of guests, including our very first one, who is actually going to be on Monday again for the first time. He might be he might have something going on, but he said he wants to, so we'll see. But you said we were talking about whining about whining. Which I've never done, which I referred to as wineception. But the other thing was, what the fuck was it? It was related to your career. It was like bitching about sound or something like that in movies or.
I don't know. I can always find something with sound to talk about.
Well, what first thing that comes to mind then?
Let's. I don't know. I don't really like tropes. Like one that popped up today, actually, it was yesterday. It's in a class. They were watching some clip, and they were talking about horror games. It's a game music class. Talking about horror games, and some monster showed up in whatever game they were looking at. It's like, well, that's a pig.
Oh, you can tell what the what the sound effect is.
Monsters forever, like any of that, like screechy, like guttural throat screechy that's super high pitched, or I guess a lot of times they pitch it down to make it monstery. It's usually a pig.
Really?
Like it's in almost everything.
And so you don't like when somebody just goes for like a stock, you know,
yeah,
sound effect or
stock sound effects are really annoying. Like I mentioned, the red-tailed hawk is one, the Wilhelm scream is kind of one, but that was more of a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was between Ben Burt and I don't remember the other guy, but it was kind of a joke between the two of them for the longest time. And then it became public.
It became a meme, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was a meme for movies, which I think I just heard it in a show a couple days ago. I don't remember what
it
was.
Like a TV
watching.
Show?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's,
every
I mean,
once you, in a while it pops up.
It's so funny because I remember the first time I heard about the Wilhelm scream, you're like, I don't fucking notice that. But then after you hear it, you can't unhear it. And you're like, I have heard that before. And it is in fucking everything.
Yeah. Sorry for ruining movies for the rest of your life.
No, it's kind of funny. It's like a meme, you know, it's like a little, you know, wink, wink, you know, like, it's in Lord of the Rings for crying out loud. I mean, it's freaking, it's everywhere.
Well, it's in all the Indiana Jones. That was Ben Burt. It's in, I think he put one in Wall-E. Even though he said he wasn't going to.
The Pixar movie, Wall-E?
Yeah, there's one in every Pixar movie.
Oh, really? I know that. See that animated movies. I didn't even.
Oh yeah, it's used a lot in animated movies. It's even. I think the one's coming to mind right now is the first Toy Story.
Uh huh.
When Buzz gets pushed out of the truck at the end.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's like, you don't even think about it twice because it's just it's a scream.
Yeah.
But it's totally not Tim Allen.
Yeah.
It's the Wilhelm scream. It was recorded in, like, I don't know, the 30s or.
Yeah, 20s or 30s 20s or something. Or
somewhere back there.
Yeah. Back when sound was still kind of a new thing for movies.
And that was literally the only scream they had for the longest time that was really good. So they always used it.
Uh huh. So second thing that comes to mind that you don't like about sound in movies.
Well, I can go to this one. I don't like people whining about movies being too loud.
Okay.
Because 99% of the time they're complaining about it, they're blaming like the director. And it's like, first, it's not really their choice. Like, yeah. Christopher Nolan likes his loud movies. I mean, I still haven't seen
Dunkirk.
Yeah, I still haven't seen Dunkirk for some reason. Really wanted to see that in 70mm or in Atmos. That'd be sweet.
Mm-hmm. Blade Runner was really loud, but that was an IMAX. I mean, it's supposed to be loud. It was loud to the point that one of the speakers was blown out.
Even then, they're actually supposed to be kind of within the same standard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a standard for theaters. Basically, the loudest it's supposed to be able to get is 105 decibels SPL out of from the seating area. If you hold up a meter, if everything is running at full volume, like the meters are at zero, which is max, it should be 105.
Okay.
So that's kind of reserved for like just loud gunshots, loud bangs, stuff like that. And 105 is not that loud. Like a rock concert, it's usually around 120 or 125.
Okay.
Always wear earplugs.
I was going to say, I saw Queens of the Stone Age last week. They were the loudest band that I've – well, not the loudest. I don't know who the loudest was, but they were fucking loud. It was at the Fox, and I think a lot of it had – because we were up on the balcony. A lot of it had to do with the curb
it was
of that
– super loud up there. I was there a couple – probably a year ago. I think I saw Clutch.
Oh, fuck yeah. I didn't know you liked Clutch.
I didn't know.
I would love to see. I was talking to my friend about that. I was like, man, Clutch would be awesome at the Fox.
You're about to hate me right now. Well, I had no idea who they were when I was invited to the concert.
Really? Neither did I the first time I saw them. And I was like, who's been keeping this from me? This is incredible.
I wish I would have known about them in high school because I was super into like Theory of a Dead Man. God, geez, I'm totally escaping a bunch of those. Alter Bridge, I think that was late high school. That was early Creed. Late Creed.
Yeah.
It's like
all our 13-year-old selves had that Creed moment, you know.
Like the first Creed disc is okay. Kind of like Nickelback, the very first CD they did is not bad. Everything after that is just like, hey, this song is popular. Let's copy and paste it.
Yeah, well, it's a joke. It's like it's so bad, it's a joke.
Yeah, but yet they still sell billions of. Shit.
Well, not so much anymore. They've been on the decline, but yeah, for a good 10 years there, they were fucking.
I'm sure so many people are listening to them in their closet.
Yeah, but anyway, where the hell were we? We were we're coming up on the end here, actually. So I gotta think of how to kind of bring it all home here. But I guess what we'll end on. So you don't like when people complain that movies are loud because.
Oh right. So first off, also like saying that director had awesome sound. It's the sound team.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, the director is like, they know what they want. And the sound team is the one that comes up with the really cool shit to
make it happen.
Make it happen and echo what the director wants. Like a lot of times, the director will tell you something like, it needs to sound more purple. Like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah,
so it's the sound people's job to figure it out what they actually mean by it and put it into sound and emotion.
Okay.
And then the whole movie's being too loud. A lot of it is actually the theater itself, and they never get blamed for it.
Hence, like I just said with Queens of the Stone Age, they're probably not that loud. It was just the theater, right?
Yeah, and it's a lot of times it's their mix. And, I mean, live music is usually extra loud anyways because there's people screaming, and you have to get it over that because that's just loud on its own.
Right, right.
But I'm a weirdo. When I mix a live show, I tend to go super quiet compared to what everybody else does because I'm like, hey, I want to actually hear this and not, like, have my ears bleed.
Right, right.
But yeah, theaters are much to blame for a lot of that because they do have like a main volume control. It's supposed to be basically at one level because that's what it's mixed at.
Uh-huh.
Dialogue is usually mixed at minus 20, and they set that to like 85 dB. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's 85 dB in the theater, and it's a you mix it like at minus 23.
Well, that is
not
so fucking
that
interesting.
Means anything
man.
To you?
Like, no, well, I was going to say, like all these, like I just said, like you know, all these technical terms. You know all the fucking like statistics and the decibel levels
went a little
and everything.
Deep.
No, that's really fucking awesome, man. We got to wrap this up. But dude, thanks for so much for coming on. I'm so glad we were able to do this. We will have you on again. We're gonna next week. The very first group show. It's gonna be a Halloween group show. I got Ooh. Phil Salvatore coming back. Gary Walker and maybe Davey Downs, who was our very first guest ever. He has said he's on call for work that whole week, but he wants to come in anyway, so we'll see what happens. American Winer, podcastdetroit.com. I will be back on Monday. Jeff, we will see you again at some point. We'll have you on as part of a group. And thanks again for coming in.
You're welcome.
And,
thanks for having me.
And everybody have a great weekend. So we will talk to you on Monday.
Doodles.